All right, folks, you're over, Cardia. Just like to welcome everyone to today's meeting. If there are any members of the public, they should remain seated throughout the meeting and should not speak. Everyone should ensure their mobile phones are turned off or switched to silent. Use of mobile device for recording is not permitted. The proceedings of the minute meeting will be audio recorded, except where the committee is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system, so please ensure that your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. I would remind members of the committee on their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interest which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the table for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. Just a couple of chairman's remarks. The initial Peace Plus consultation will run until the 25th of February, and there's two main elements, one being the stakeholder engagement event and the second being the online survey. Councillors are invited to participate in the consultation by attending the event and completing the survey. This initial consultation is at strategic level. There will be a second consultation taking place in the autumn to drill down to more details. Hard copy is made available to councillors at tonight's meeting. Just also to acknowledge the tremendous achievement of Kilcoo in making the All-Ireland Club Final and the fantastic effort in bringing Champions Carrick in to extra time yesterday, and just wish them every success in the future. Which leads us on to any apologies. So if there's any apologies for tonight's meeting. Councillor McGrew. Mark Gibbons. Okay. Any direct declarations of interest? No. And we go on to the action sheet arising from the Active and Healthy Committee meeting held on the 16th of December 2019. So we'll just go through it page by page. Page 1, 2, 3, page 4, page 5, 6, 7, and 8 and 9. Anybody any issues arising from the? No? Excellent. At this stage, we're going to move item number 8. Sorry. Can I have a proposer and seconder for the action sheet? Proposed, Councillor Rohan, seconded, Councillor McAvoy. We'll move on then to item number 8, which is the overflow car park at Donard Park.
Thank you, Chair. Members will note that the report pertains to two items, winter arrangements for the unofficial car park, overflow car park at Donald Park, but also to seek approval for the establishment of a permanent overflow car park and parking arrangements at Donald Park, and to commit £250,000 to the Council's capital program. Members will know, I suppose, some history in relation to this particular unofficial car park area. So it's actually designated as an open space, and there's, in terms of public liability, we have public liability issues in terms of opening it as a car park, and therefore arrangements for July and August and up until October had been that we open, close, and also manage this area while it's open. Members will note the issues, I suppose, with opening this area in relation to antisocial behaviour, in relation to residence issues, which have been outlined in the report. I suppose it's just for members to take all this into consideration, particularly in relation to winter arrangements around ground conditions and those sorts of things. So, open for any feedback if required.
All right. Councillor Clark.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks for tabling. Myself and Councillor Devlin wanted to table. There's a major problem with parking in Newcastle in general, particularly during good weather, for example, where a lot of people would obviously use their car parks in Donner Park for accessing the mountains. It's one of the main accesses to the Mourne Mountains. So the cars are really parked there all day, so there's a capacity issue, and that's the reason for the overflow car park being open. The town itself is getting all year round visitors. I think that's to be welcomed. That's what we want, activity tourism, and a lot of people using our cafes and bars and restaurants and our natural assets. So we do have to take this on board moving forward. There's obviously safety issues with the overflow car park. If it's not resourced or staffed, then you end up with boy and girl racers cutting the park up. You know, then it's like a ploughed field, which causes major issues because visitors, again, using our assets going into the Mourne Mountains, you know, are horrified by the state and the condition of the park. You know, so I think moving forward, I welcome the capital build. I think that's essential, that we have the Grass Street car park built with associated planting, a dedicated car park that is still the environmental aspects at the heart of the car park. And we also have to take in regards to climate change and water displacement. So the Grass Creek solution, I think, is a good option. I would like to see that developed as soon as possible. As I said, just to finish, I think it's essential that we do have as many months as possible in our tourism season to be open, and particularly if it's fine weather and the ground conditions are dry, then we should be aiming to keep it open. Either we work with you know, businesses in the area who could maybe assist in opening it out of season. That might be a solution to look at moving forward. But that's just my views in regards to it. Sure.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Devlin.
Thank you very much, Karen. Thanks for moving the item forward as well. Just on a similar vein to what Councillor Clark has mentioned, this has been an issue since my co-option back in 2013. However, year on year, the problem is becoming more acute. We're a total victim of our own success, and as a council, we should be proud at how we've driven tourism right across the council, and particularly in Newcastle. But with that comes the additional burden and increased demand for parking. It used to be that the overflow, just like Willie said there, was only needed in around the times of festive flight or a really hot day in Newcastle. That is no longer the case. We can see on the ground the changes year on year. As long as it's dry, Newcastle's busy. Between walkers up the mountain and the trades to town, the place is buzzing, which is really superb to see. But unless we adapt and change, there's a potential of losing that trade as they simply can't get parked. The overflow car park is a necessary part of Newcastle's infrastructure, and I appreciate all the issues regarding antisocial behaviour. We know them all well, and officers have worked really, really well in that regard too. But when the overflow isn't open, there's huge issues to neighbouring folds. The cars are getting blocked in, residents blocked in. It's completely chaos. Kevin Scullion's department did a really good piece of work last year in terms of widening the access route, and that definitely has alleviated some of the congestion issues in and out of the overflow, because I know they're mentioned in the residential issues in the report, but thankfully they're no longer such an issue. So I want to welcome elements of the report and the recommendation to create the permanent overflow. So I suppose just a couple of questions, Paul. You know, if approved for council, when do officers envisage that this work would begin, and when would it be completed? And also, just to clarify, you know, when this new car park is completed, it'll just be a Grass Creek extension. There'll be no open and close any longer. It'll be a larger car park. So, a couple of questions.
Through the chair. Yeah, that's correct. We envisage that, I suppose, that capital project will be subject to the likes of planning and going through all that process and stuff. We had hoped to have that through and be on site for something like November. And that would, I suppose, help alleviate. We come, you know, have to put maybe temporary arrangements in place for during the summer period. It wouldn't make sense to maybe do that work during the summer period, given that it's probably at its highest demand during that period. So we'd hope that all things being equal, that November would be a time where we could go on site and start completing that work, and subject to all planning permissions and everything being in place.
And how long will it take, Paul?
I'm not sure. I maybe have to come back to you in terms of start to finish and discuss that with our capital team in terms of that. But I'd like to think that it would be completed prior to the likes of April and Easter, you know, so that at least it did tie in with the high demand season, if you like, from April through to November.
Okay. So I suppose that was a couple of questions. If there was any way at all that we could bring the scheme forward as much, obviously summertime we don't want to start in then, but if it was, it's as long a construction phase as that, it would take that amount of time, because I was thinking it was going to be a shorter period of time, so we're not trying to push it along and bring it forward to save us the money, because we do need, and I know in the report it mentioned about, you know, the demand for parking. I think that's, I don't know where those sort of information is coming from, because the demand is significant and it's ever increasing, even in the winter months, even off season. It's not the case any longer than it is just seasonal. So if we are waiting until maybe November to start the scheme, we need then to staff it from now. I know obviously there's arrangements from the summertime for two staff, but weekend days, if it's dry, like Willie said, the car park needs to be opened. It really does. If we're serious with tourism, and this council's done an amazing job, and we are a victim of our own success in terms of Newcastle, but it needs to be opened. It does. That'd be my.
So we'll just answer the first one in terms of the length of the project. I have discussed specifically with the capital team to see, like, from appointment of contractor and those sort of things, wanting to maybe bring it forward. My only issue is that it has to go through a planning process, which could take some time, and then appointment of contractors and those sorts of things. So I'd say, you know, it wouldn't be something that we could start even if we wanted to, I think, in the likes of April or anything like that. But I'll go maybe come back to you with specifics, if that's okay.
Michael, do you want to come in there?
No, Chair, that's just what I was going to say. My understanding is that the work could take about 3 months in total. Now, the plan would be to get in there as soon as we are planning. So alongside planning, we probably want to run a tender process, so as we have a contractor ready to go on site once we get planning. As soon as we get any kind of indication that we're going to get planning and that it is going for approval, we'd like to start the appointment process. So we would aim to run as quickly as we can. The issue is going to be, you know, planning can take up to a year. That's sort of why we're saying it's going to be the end of the year.
Not any worries, yes.
If we can get it quicker, we'll certainly look at moving on quick.
All right then, committee, there's a recommendation in front of you.
Sorry,
didn't see you way back there.
thank you, Chair. I have to say, I'm a wee bit apprehensive about the car park. I heard Councillor Clark mention about the grass crate solution. Is that an option other than like a blanket tarmac option? I mean, I think by blanket tarmac would change the character. That sort of part of the, or the, there's lots of head shaking there. What's wrong? Yes, I know that. So I mean, are we proposing a tarmac, which is in the plan, or are we proposing a grass skate? So I'm just concerned about a blanket tarmac. I mean, the thing about it is, you know, the Iron Law of Congestion would say that, you know, peak hour traffic congestion arises to meet the maximum capacity, and we're just going to end up with more. I'm not convinced that building car parks is the solution to these congestions. You know, what's good for big cities, you know, should be good for our regional towns. Also, there's a lot of users in that, you know, there's a lot of, like, athletics clubs use that part of the ground, cycle clubs use that ground, there's big finishing and big events use that part of the ground. So, I mean, I'm just slightly concerned about that. How does that also fit in with the Mourne's Gateway? I mean, that's something that needs to be looked at, you know. We're talking about putting a ways of getting to the Thomas's Quarry, and, you know, are we just going to continue encroaching on the green space that we have? Totally don't doubt that there is parking issues. I'm sure, you know, I mean, yeah, I know there's parking issues, but I'm just, you know, I just always get a bit concerned in this day and age of trying to maintain and maximise green spaces that our go-to solution to a problem is less tarmac green space. I mean, it's just, so again, so supposedly conclusion, are we, I mean, is this proposal committing the £250,000 to this project, or is this proposal against maybe it's my misunderstanding? Is this proposal, asking for a developed plan to come back that maybe might not be the nice big blanket tarmac? And again, type of the first person you mentioned, Johnny Mitchell's big yellow taxi. So thank you.
Through you, Chair. The proposal is for, it's not actually grasscrete, but it's that type of idea. It's plastic, I think, and the grass grows through it. So the whole idea is that it will be green, and I can guarantee we wouldn't get planning for putting tarmac up there anyway, I would imagine. So, no, the idea is it will be grasscrete, so it will be sympathetic, and it will look like grass from a distance. The main issue, and that's really about the ground conditions to make sure that it stands up in the winter, so we don't have to keep closing it. The main issue is around a proper marking out proper spaces, which can be done through this grasscrete type material, and to have a one-way system and a proper system for going in and out, so as the insurance will cover us. Our big issue currently is we're not covered by insurance because it's not a designated car park. In addition, I would imagine any cars that are in there could have issues if they do have an accident in that area, because it's not a proper designated car park. So that's all we're going to do. But it's grasscrete, so that alleviates your fears. And yes, we are asking for permission to include this in the capital programme and submit a planning application and go out to tender to get the works done.
Proposed, Councillor O'Brien.
Sorry, Chair.
Hold on, Councillor McKee hasn't been in yet. We'll maybe let him in.
Yeah, sure.
Thanks, Chair O'Brien. And I welcome you bringing this forward early on. It sits me fine. And I welcome the councillors who brought this forward. I think it's very important for Newcastle. Irrespective of busy times, events, Newcastle has become an absolute nightmare to get parked during the day, at any time over the year, it appears to be. For the simplest things you want to do, you're pushing out that island car park, going there, you have the turn van and all that, and it's difficult to get parked anywhere. But I think it's a really good idea, good suggestion. Just a question really to Michael. How do you mark out car park spaces within that type of growing effect? You know, how do you line it, or what way does that work? How do you maintain the spacings on it?
Through the chair. The way it's designed is that it's using more natural type of environmental friendly things to designate the parking spaces in the area, which can be done through the grasscrete. We currently have it in Kilbroney. And Cabroni Park has an area like this that's a car park area that's designated that way as well. We're conscious that of the planning restrictions that could be in those areas, and so we're trying to, I suppose, pay homage, if you like, to the environment and those things in those areas, and try and designate those areas as best as we can. So that's, there's a way of doing it through the grasscrete and designing it in a way that designated car parks will be established within it. And you'll be able to see it. Now, it won't be like painted on or anything like those, but that's how the design, if you see in the design, that's how it will come out. And it's sort of a bit more in line with the environment and the natural heritage of it.
Yes, will the car park be open to car park management, whether they oversee them? Like, example, red coats, you know, if they're not defined parking spaces, they're open to parking tickets unnecessarily, I would say.
Through the chair, currently there's no, in the current Donner car park, my understanding is that it's not managed through that as it stands, and so that'll be part of a wider issue in relation to car parking in general, I think, in the area. But we envisage that the capital program will be there so it can stay open on a permanent basis, and I suppose decrease costs in terms of what we're going to be incurring maybe during the summer in terms of managing that area, as we have to at the moment because of the designation and the health and safety issues. But it'll be under the governance of the current Donner car park that is there. Similar scenario.
Thanks, Paul.
Yeah.
as a rule.
Thank you for letting me back in again. I was wondering if Councillor Ryan would be willing to take a wee amendment if possible. I know that you're proposing just the standard recommendations there, Mickey. I'm wondering, in terms of the first bit about the winter arrangements, could we maybe look at sourcing the budget between now and Easter of opening the car park staffed on the dry days? Like just something like Councillor Clark had alluded to there, would that be? Sorry, I can't, my hearing's up there. Here, I'll go off.
As far as I'm concerned, the proposal already covers that there, but the Councillor Clark already talked about at the very start that the council would look into the entire area of the park.
Okay. Councillor Dorn.
No, second proposal, Chair.
Second proposal.
Do I need to hit all the paper? Are you clear what the proposal is? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Respect, I don't think it's really clear exactly what's being proposed. I mean, Councillor Clark had mentioned something which is completely valid, and I'm not sure it was included in Councillor Rand's proposal. I'd like to know that.
Just my understanding of what the proposal is the recommendations as set before you, and if a budget can be found in the interim to bring forward the opening of the car park and to open it on sunny days, then that should be done. Now, that's if a budget can be found. I need to point out to members that there, as I've said in the paper, I currently have no budget. It would require an overspend, which I'm absolutely certain the Council and SPNR Committee wouldn't allow me to do. But should a budget become available, we're happy to look at it. But that's my understanding of what the proposal is. So, yep.
And will we know that before full Council, the budget?
There may not be a budget, he said.
Yeah, but will we know the answer to that question? Because if not, then a full council might need another proposal. Sorry for being a pain. I'm just trying to get it clear in my head. But
yeah, I can't answer that. If there is, well, there will be able to be an update given at the council meeting.
Okay.
I wouldn't. I don't know that we're ever going to find it because the department has issues in terms of budgets at the minute. But yeah.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Right, we're moving on to item number 4, which is the DEA Fora update report. Janine.
Yes, Chair, members, it's our monthly DEA report. You have contained within 7 separate action sheets, one from each of the DEAs, a summary of activity that has taken place within the DEAs prior to Christmas, and also a report to provide you a bit of an overview of some of the activities coming up. So, Chair, we require a proposer in a second.
All right, a proposer. Sean Dorn, seconder. Jerry. item number 5, license agreements at the community facilities.
Yes, Chair, and members, within several council community facilities, we have a number of long-term tenants who have exclusive use of rooms to run their activities. These current arrangements have been inherited from legacy councils, so the report seeks approval from AHC to replace these arrangements with license agreements. It will be a more consistent approach, and it feeds into some of the alignments that have already taken place in relation to FMAs and SLAs.
Okay. He's Willie.
I take it, Jane, this in relation to, I know the Chamber of Commerce in Warren Point, for instance, have always had a room in the Town Hall in Warren Point.
Yes,
is this the same?
It's the same, only within the community engagement section. So it would be facilities like Bonhinch Market House, Dan Rice Hall and Drummond, those kind of things. So not related to ERT facilities, it's a security community. Well, we can make
them
with our ERT colleagues if you want.
No, it was more just I know we're implementing something, but I hope it's not to the detriment of the groups that use them, that they find it that they can't continue to use our facilities.
No, definitely not.
Should
be aligned.
Thank you.
Maybe we need a proposer and seconder. Propose you. Second, Mickey. Item number six then, social inclusion. Janine?
Yes, Chair. The report provides an update on two social inclusion initiatives. Firstly, approval is sought for Council to again administer the British Red Cross Fund, a total of £5,000. We would seek to distribute these funds, as usual, to destitute individuals and families that have been identified through our own council-run ethnic minority support centre. The second part of the report looks for your approval to get involved in the Inclusive Cities initiative. So again, it's just the initial sign-up to the initiative. It is a knowledge exchange in relation to best practice. So if you're agreeing to go ahead, we will be bringing back further details for future meetings.
Proposed, Chair.
Proposed. A second. Sure. Okay. Item number seven is the piece for local action group.
Yes, Chair. A very short report in relation to piece four. The partnership seek approval for one recommendation contained within the report, and that's simply to change the frequency of the piece four partnership meetings from monthly to bi-monthly.
Proposed. Seconded, Councillor Dorn. Thanks, Janine.
Sorry, Chair, my label.
Oh, sorry.
Right. Just at that piece four meeting on the 9th of January, there was a list of programmes that was listed. One of those that was listed and there was money set aside for was for the Fork Hill Barracks in Fork Hill, where the recommendation was to knock down the old barrack wall and extend a walkway. And when I inquired about why the money hadn't been spent, they said there was a delay. So could I ask the officers here to find out what the delay is and why that work hasn't been carried out? Because the commitment has already been given and the money's already been set aside to do that. That was it's a green space that was given back to the community. I suppose I was involved in it way back in my time as deputy mayor of the old council. And it's just something I would be keenly interested in. So I want to find out what that delay is, because if there was money set aside to be spent, it should be spent. Thank you.
Janine, would you be able to find out for that and get back to us? If you bring it back to the entire committee, I'm sure we'll all be interested to see how it goes. All right? Yeah. Thanks a million. I'll take us on to item 9, and that's Caliph Fair Park, Paul.
Thank you, Chair. Members will recall a report to AHC Committee on the 18th of November approving a capital spend of $119,995 for Caliph Play Park, and also asking for approval to move to the third stage consultation process. That consultation process has now been complete. As a result of that and the feedback from the community in the area, a revised capital program of $159,000 due to the requirement of a ball stop and additional DDA equipment for the area is being requested and approved. Since that November report, we've also been approved for RDP funding for that project, so any additional cost to the project won't be an additional cost to council. It will be made up as a result of the RDP funding. The report is looking to approve the revised cost of $159,000 for the Caliph Play Park, but also to approve and consider and agree the leasing of land from the Caliph Gaelic Athletic Club to allow us to obviously create this play park in their grounds, which has been identified as the preferred area for the play park.
Thanks, Paul.
Sure, it's great. It's great to see that there was RDP funding that was able to be received for this project, and that obviously the feedback that was given by the residents out in Caliph was able to be taken on board and to help enhance the play park that we're hoping to build. More than happy to propose it as is.
Proposed, Councillor Fiona. Second, Councillor Rowan. Any other comment?
Chair.
Councillor Savage.
Yeah, Chair, just a separate issue. I was just looking for a bit of clarity in relation to the Carrick McClone play park. There had been representation made by both myself and Councillor Kimmins in relation to the high fencing. Now, you got a phone call to say that we'd looked at the high fencing element of it, which is going to cover part of the playground. That's caused a wee bit of concern locally, in that it's leaving part of the far end of the play park open. Could that be looked at potentially down the line, to close that off? I'm conscious of the fact that we don't want to bring down the play score of the play park by putting a lot of money into the fencing, but safety is a big issue there, and I think what we're looking for is an assurance that we can look at that again after the play park is opened, if there's a feeling within the from the residents that we need additional safety measures there. Could that potentially be looked at again? And secondly, have we got a rough idea of when we're looking at completion? Sorry, Chair, I appreciate you taking.
Sorry, Chair.
Through the Chair, thanks, Councillor. My understanding, we've commissioned the additional works in terms of the fencing to be completed, so they should be going on site in the near future to complete the extension length, which my understanding is along the roadside area, which is the priority in terms of safety for the children and stuff like that. In terms of additionality, in terms of fencing the complete area off, which I think is what you're asking, is that correct? And whether that can be scoped out, I suppose we'll have to come back to you on that. Initially, we'll look at what the cost for that will be and see if that can be absorbed within that program.
Thank you, Matt.
Residents, I think, if they had the assurance that if it did become a problem down the line, that we would look at it. All I'm seeking at this time is an assurance that if there's a feeling that there were specific dangers, we don't know until we see the level of usage of the park, which I think will be very well used. Because if it does become a problem, we could look at it. And have we got an idea of when? Are we looking at some stage in February, potentially, for opening?
I have to come back to you. I think I'm not sure when that work was being commissioned for the additional fencing. I know it's not far away. I can't remember exact dates and timescales out, but I can certainly come back to you with those. But I think I'm happy enough to give the assurance that once the play park is complete and opened, and we can, if there's concerns once it's in operation, we can certainly look at those.
Thanks, William. Paul, item number 10 is on gating orders. Paul? Our own, sorry.
Thanks, Chair. The housing, due to serious issues of antisocial behaviour in the Island Band Walk and Ballymote area to Patrick, so the housing executive have applied to the council in order to make a gating order, which gives them then the power to put gates up. So what we're looking for here, so there was certainly a level of antisocial behaviour. So our role in this is they applied to us. We carried a consultation exercise, advertised it, and we're looking for recommendation that the committee approve the Downpatrick Traffic Regulation Order that's attached. The housing executive will be responsible for installation and the upkeep of the gates, as well as providing keys to any relevant party who needs it. So just looking approval to approve the order.
Councillor Taylor.
Chair, I'm more than happy to propose, and also to say, I suppose Owen's already outlined it there whenever he was putting forward the gate order. There is serious issues around social behaviour in the Ballymote area, as has been the case for over a decade. Over the last 3 years, since I certainly was co-opted on the council, I've seen a lot of work, especially inter-agency work, through our PCSP, and this is one of the initiatives that came out through this. It's taken a few years to get here. It's great to see that we're now here in a position where the council is actually able to either put forward the gate in order and a housing executive for them erect those gates, which will hopefully reduce the terrorisation of residents in that area. So more than happy to propose.
Seconder. Thanks, Councillor Walker. And Owen again, number 11, Sustainability and Climate Change Forum Action Sheet.
Approve the action sheet. The only thing I'd highlight to members is that you remember part of the notice of motion was to put on a climate symposium, so just to give you advance notice, you see that the date for the symposium is the 12th of March. It's going to be in Killeavy Castle, and further details will be available closer to the time. Just looking for approval to approve the actions in the action sheet.
I'd like to close this.
Thanks, Councillor Mason. All right, thanks, Councillor Fenner. And then item number 12, the same of delegation, Director of Agriculture and Healthy Communities, Michael.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, as you know, this is I bring this every 6 months, so this is a list of those things which I have authorised under the scheme of delegation, which has been powers which have been given to us delegated by the council. It's under the six headings as set out in the report. And I'm quite happy if any member has any question on any of it. It's just to let you know what I've been doing for the last 6 months in your name.
Thanks, Michael. If anyone has a question or if anyone wants to propose it. Oh, Sean Doran. Seconded. All right, and then...
Is it in the committee now?
Where's that thing?
Is that the Rudy thing? Where is it?
Okay, item number 13 is number 16, the Square of Strava. This item is deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act 2014. Information relating to item 3 and the public may by resolution be excluded during this item of business. Proposed? Councillor Ryan, seconded. Councillor Savage.
You just need to read that out.
Okay.
Check in later. Professionalism, is it?
Okay, while in closed session, the following was agreed with regard to item 13, number 16, the Square of Strava. Agreed on the proposal of Councillor Ruan and seconded by Councillor O'Hare, committee approved officers proceeding as outlined in the report to withdraw the original application, to complete the procurement process, and to submit an application to the RDP for up to 75% through the village renewal scheme of the total project costs. That concludes the meeting. Carmichael, 808.